Everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 199. We're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode, or season 5, episode 10, Into the Woods, and Angel season 2, episode 10, Reunion. My name is Caitlin, and I am joined today by fellow superfan Mai and newbies Ariana and Mitch. Hi, everybody.
Good day.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
All right, so before we jump in, just a reminder of how you can get in contact with us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. And you can hit us up on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So before we get started, as usual, we are going to do some fun facts. Mitch, let's start with you.
My fun fact is that I have a giant picture of a rhino above my desk, because apparently that's a thing. I was just at Ross and shopping for new decorations for my home, and then this rhino kind of spoke to me, and I was just like, all right, we're doing this. And now I kind of stare at it, and it looks very stoic and kind, so I think it's a good thing.
That is so random.
Yeah, I was struggling. Because I never think of fun facts. I don't think anyone ever does. But it's the most random of any fun fact I've ever presented, I'm pretty sure.
And that is a high bar to clear with Mitch. So.
True.
Ariana, how about you?
I did think about my fun fact. I'm trying to be more purposeful about my life now since we've descended into a dystopian regime. My fun fact this week is that, number one, I'm still alive, and apparently you guys are too, which is exciting. And number two is that I called my congressman this week, and because that's a big deal for me because I'm super introverted and hate calling people on the phone, like even my friends. And I hate confrontation, and my congressman is Republican, so I was like super, super scared that it was going to be a scary experience. And the first time I called, I was like filled with all this anxiety, and I had to like put myself up, and like it was really scary. But I, you know what? I called, and they were very nice to me. Shocking, because that's their job, to listen to you. The lady on the net phone was very kind, and she was like, "Thank you for your concerns. I will definitely tell the congressman." And I said thank you and hung up, and it took about 30 seconds. And then after that, I felt much better because I was like, I did my part for today. So I would really recommend, guys, to call your congressman if you have concerns about anything that's happening. If you need like a pump up, you can tweet me and I'll be like, yeah, you can do it. I really recommend doing like getting a phone script because I need to write it down so that then I can just be like, hello, blah, 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 blah. Thank you. And I don't have to think about it. Yes, I don't have to think about it. And I can just be like, I'm reading this. Okay, thank you. Bye.
No, I didn't know you were scared of talking on the phone or like anxious about it. I mean, we're on Skype right now. Is it different for your brain? Are you like always happy to be on a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, yeah, I'm used to it now. I think the first time I was really nervous.
I'm always terrified. Oh.
That's so sad.
But I'm new.
It's just kind of weird. Like, and I'm not really scared to talk to people in person. Like, I would much rather go knock on doors and talk to strangers that way.
Right, well, you can vibe
call
people
them up
in real life.
Yeah. I think it scares me because I can't see their face. But remember that, like, it's the people's jobs to listen to you. And as long as you're polite, their receptionist will be 100% very nice to you.
That's a great point.
So. Yeah, don't say, Congressman so-and-so is the devil.
Yeah, no, just be like, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm calling from zip code so-and-so. I'd just like to let my congressman know that I am concerned about this and this. Thank you for your day, or for your time. And they'll be like, thank you.
Nice work, Ariana. Very proud. Mai, let's hear from you.
My fun fact is that I've been re-listening to Song of Ice and Fire, and I'm almost done with A Dance of Dragons.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm hoping Winds of Winter will be out soon.
No, it won't.
I know it won't, but
it's a false hope. It's never going to happen. I didn't read
my
the books,
started
and I'm angry
me on
about
series,
that.
And he didn't tell me that it wasn't finished.
Oh no, that's pretty cruel. I don't know. Yeah, I'd reconsider.
Misery loves company, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
He was waiting, and he wanted someone to wait with.
I bet those audiobooks are massively long.
Oh my god, like 30 hours.
Yeah,
plus, right.
And the guy who reads, he's a pirate with every voice.
A pirate?
Yeah, he sounds like a pirate.
I didn't expect that.
It's that Roy the Trees guy. So every person sounds pretty much the same.
From the Harry Potter audiobooks. He does a lot of different characters, Jim Dale.
Oh, yeah, he's a lot better.
Yeah.
All right, and my fun fact, I have two fun facts. One is that it's the Super Bowl weekend, and my team is in the Super Bowl, and
it
I'm very excited.
Whoa, wait, it's the Super Bowl
weekend? I
don't
know which team that is.
I'm excited for you,
Caitlin. I wish I could have been, but I didn't even know this was happening. Oh my god, I'm so out of the loop. That's horrible.
I've been tweeting about it for 2 weeks.
And I feel like we talked about it on Rewatchable, like, for weeks.
We kind of
have. About how
it
was going to be like a Brittany-Caitlin showdown.
Yes, there was the 2 week break from the last games. So they play.
I keep forgetting. Which teams?
The Patriots. Those are the cheaters, so don't root for them.
And is that Chris Evans' team?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Is it really something. Chris Evans' team? That's funny. That's funny.
And the Atlanta Falcons. That's my team, because I'm from Atlanta.
Isn't there a Falcon in Marvel, too?
Sam.
Yeah. Is that Sam's team?
Probably.
It should be.
Yeah, they should do like a rivalry on Twitter. That would be funny.
I ended up a Philadelphia Eagles fan by circumstance.
Philadelphia fans are terrible. They booed Santa Claus in Philadelphia. So we don't.
What?
Yeah, well.
Santa
isn't real.
My other fun fact is that Gage has started going outside.
Aww. Yeah, he went to a dog park. That was cool. Yeah.
There's a dog park like directly across the street from my apartment in the apartment complex, and we finally found a harness that he'll like take, and it like he started going outside, so we've been to the park almost every day for a few minutes. And it's very exciting that he goes outside now. So those are my fun facts.
Dog.
He is a good dog. He's sitting on the floor right now, being bored.
Oh.
I love how he's adjusting to you. It's amazing. I'm so, like, happy to see his transformation every day. It's so fun.
I'm so proud of him. Though yesterday we went to the dog park, and there was another dog there, and this dog kept trying to get Gage to, like, play with her, and he was not having it.
He's such a personality.
He was like, I don't understand why this dog keeps, like, coming after me. And the dog's owner was like, she just wants him to chase her. I'm like, I know. I don't know why he won't play with her. But he's figuring it out. All right. So let's now move into talking about the episodes. So we are starting with Buffy, episode 510, Into the Woods. So I believe this is Adiana's synopsis.
I apologize. It was late at night. And
yeah, don't apologize for this one.
In this podcast, we've got 199 problems and a white bread bitch is no longer one. We are off to a good start. After Joyce's surgery anticlimactically turns out to be a success, Buffy and Riley decide to have some very missionary sex before he scuttles off into the night to pick up some vamp whores to suck on him a little bit harder. Spike sees the whole thing and tattles to Buffy, and so Buffy is mad, guys. She is so mad. She confronts Riley because she wants to know if they are out of the woods yet. Are they out of the woods yet? Are they out of the woods? Riley answers there. Not in the clear yet, not in the clear yet, not in the clear yet.
My girl.
He just wants to feel like a real boy, don't you see? Instead of the department store mannequin that we all know him to be. So Buffy buckles on her best Lindsay Lohan and tries to make him feel life-sized, but he is no Tyra Banks, and it is not enough. Nothing can repair this man's bruised ego after finding out that his beautiful girlfriend is also self-sufficient. A piece of bread that is drowning cannot toast.
Brava.
Nice work. I like it.
Especially for the Taylor Swift references. Thank you.
Those went right over my head.
Oh, really?
That's the whole thing.
You were like, why is she repeating this so many times?
I assumed it was an Into the Woods reference.
that's a good guess.
I don't know anything about Taylor Swift. Sorry.
I probably would have done it.
I'm proud of you.
I probably would have done it all Into the Woods style.
Into the Woods.
Kind of like the famed ones that you've done, Ariana, like the Hamilton ones.
Yes, I love Hamilton.
I love your recaps. God, they make me happy.
All right. So, Joyce's surgery is a success. Is this the end of it, newbies?
I mean, if it is, then I'm very angry.
I had to assume you're a super fan. I think I listened to other podcast episodes and you are. So, I just want to say, if you don't know this yet, I kind of was like on the Let Joyce Die boat. So if you think I'm cruel, that's fine. I probably am.
Oh, no. I feel like all newbies were like, she needs to die.
It just moves Buffy better into a better direction.
Yes.
The show and the character.
Okay.
Oh, I know the about only hate.
I will accept this if she... I think it would actually be better. So she survives this surgery, and then she, like, gets hit by a car or something. That would be better, in my opinion.
Know.
Because then it's like, we went through all of this, and then just for that to happen, or, like, she gets her head bitten off by a vampire or something. You know what I mean?
Fun.
Like, suddenly. So, but at this point, I'm like, girl has to die. I mean, maybe she's not going to, but if she isn't, then I feel really betrayed and like the writers are terrible because there was so much foreshadowing and she needs to die so that Buffy can become like Dawn's surrogate mother and then they have the showdown at the end and also so she can have like sad sex with Spike. So Joyce needs to die.
Jake? Is that what that would be?
No, not Joyce and Spike.
Oh.
Although I can see why you would think that. They do have quite the connection.
Those they would watch Passions together.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Spike is Buffy's stepdad.
I don't know.
That's a whole nother.
Hey, I don't know if I would like a fake out here, because I won't say the character in The Walking Dead, but they did that, and it was so exhausting. And it's like a thing that like Vampire Diaries does like all the time. It's such an overdone trope. I hate it. I hate it so much. If you're going to kill a character, do it and keep them dead. That's my big rule for television, to get a show in a way that I'm going to love it. And I felt like they faked us out here with Joyce and they shouldn't have. I really feel like they should have just done it, especially with like how long the surgery was taking and whatnot. Like the way they were just pacing out this really drawn out surgery, like for the past four or five episodes she's beating these headaches. I felt like it was just time. It is not like I even hate Joyce as much as I used to at all.
No, it's not that at all. I think that it's time, like you said, for the story so that Buffy can move on. It's like in Star Wars when the mentors die. Like
right.
It's time for them to move on. And I don't want Giles to die. I feel like Giles is still useful for the story. So I don't want Giles to die. So Joyce needs to die. She's a representation of Buffy's childhood.
She's felt antiquated to me ever since the episode where she was witch burning. Because ever since then, she hasn't really had like a plot.
She's felt antiquated to me since like the beginning. Like the only time I like Joyce is when she is talking to Spike or when she's like dying on her deathbed. So that's the only time she's nice. She's, like, not a very nice mom. She, like, pits the girls against each other, and she sends Giles babysitting without asking.
You know, she did look great, though, for just coming out of brain surgery. She came out like, it kind of felt like soap opera-y how beautiful she was after just having her skull operated on, like, that day, as far as I could understand. She was very, like, chipper, like, oh, I want to put on a wig now. And I was like, I feel like you're a little bit more into it than you should be. Like, anesthesia, at the very least, you should be very, like, I don't know, different, maybe? I don't know. That part felt strange to me. I don't know when we were, though, when she was trying on the wigs with Buffy.
I think that was a little while after.
Maybe, like, a couple days, yeah. We're saying. I couldn't tell, like, when then...
Yeah, it was. I think it was the next day. She would have been in recovery, which is a completely different room. She was back in her hospital room, which meant she was out of recovery.
You're right, because Riley and Buffy do get together that night, and then the next day, Buffy probably goes back, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes a little bit more sense.
So she had a night to sleep it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so newbies are still hoping for a Joyce death, is what I'm getting.
Something tragic, like,
yes.
Let's hope like Drusilla comes over to this show too, and it's just like, I'm just here to fuck things up. That'd be fun. Yes,
okay, here's the question. Would you want, if we still think she's going to die, do you want it to be supernatural, like, or still something, like, that Buffy would have no control about? Because that's been the whole thing with the brain tumor, is it's nothing that can be fixed through magical or supernatural means.
Well, remember, my proposition was that she get hit by a car walking down the street.
Or head ripped off. I'm still okay with head ripped off.
But if that's by a monster, it's supernatural.
Doesn't have to be. This is going in really dark places.
Seriously.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't know. I feel like once we've had this plot to evolve of, like,
I don't
the
know,
shadow.
Because... I mean, I liked that it was something that Buffy couldn't control, but apparently it's fixed or whatever. So
I don't think so. I feel like it's still going to be there. That's the thing. I feel like she's going to die of an accident.
I hope so.
Like, you don't think that you think that shadow,
like, what?
Business is done?
Well, they said it was fixed. Unless they're lying.
But...
Is it an evil doctor?
No, it's not that. It's that the supernatural element that I think is the tumor. Because I think it came around because of Dawn being the shadow. If that's what they're saying the shadow is. I don't know what that is, though, so that's where I'm stuck understanding the tumor and, like, where it could progress if it's going to come back.
They said they got the whole tumor.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, doctors think they get an entire bit of cancer, and they didn't actually get it all, so...
It wasn't cancerous, was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. I guess I feel cheated, though, if that happened, because, like, right now, I don't feel like Buffy is happy. You know, like, I would want to see Buffy and them be, like, happy before, I don't know. This was just, like, a weird episode.
Like, now that Riley's gone.
Like, she didn't feel any relief from it. They went to go have weird sex, but...
I mean, she says that she's totally relaxed, and Riley's like, oh, I didn't get to do anything.
I don't know. I don't think she looks totally relaxed to me, but she never looks relaxed when she's with Riley.
Yes, so let's talk about Riley. Ugh. I just have to say, I have this distinct memory of the first time I watched this episode, which I think is when it first aired, of watching as she's running after the helicopter, and when she misses it, I just, like, was sobbing, because the first time I watched it, I loved Riley, and now I'm like, oh,
really?
Thank God. We hit the breakup episode.
That feels like a big betrayal of Bangel to you.
I mean, this was the first time I watched it, which was a long time ago.
Yeah. So you weren't always a Bangel shipper. It took you a while to get into it, is what you're saying.
I liked Bangel when I first watched it, but that doesn't mean I can't like Riley, too.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to only like one thing.
According to Riley, that's all you're only allowed to like, because he's still... Whatever. My ship wars against Riley are never ending. He's worse than white bread to me ever since that comment about Angel. I was so good riddance to him here. I was like, you just need to go. You're becoming worse and worse. You're so self-destructive, and you're making Buffy's life so miserable when she's in the middle of a family trauma. There's no point to have you around. It just, whatever. Just, I was happy to see him go. This was not even a sad episode for me. This was actually, like, I was going to say joyful, but that it sounded like joyful.
I mean, Mitch, I know you were predicting that Riley was going to get killed off. Is this a satisfying end for him, for you?
No, because then he can come back. And I guess if he dies, he could have come back, too, as a vampire or any other form of specter. But I didn't want him to just go away on, like, an army trip, because that means he'll show up in a guest episode. I know he will. He'll show up in, like, Angel Season 7 for, like, some big finale or something crazy. And I won't be into it. I'll be so angry. I'll be like, ugh. Stay away, stop ruining things with your broodiness. It's not even a good broodiness. Angel does broodiness well, but Riley does not.
Riley
not
mopes.
What was
That's
that?
A good way to put
it. I kind of disagree. Well, I was going to say I disagree. I don't think Angel does do broodiness well, but this episode was good. So never mind. We'll save that.
Well, here's the thing with Riley dying. I feel like, you know, if... In Buffy, like, basically letting him go, like, she's forced to let him move on with his life. And if he dies, it's like...
Then he's a martyr.
She's not able to move on. Because it's like, things were incomplete and now there's no way to fix it. This is just like, they're both going to have to move on with their lives.
And do we look at him in a more negative light in this episode... specifically in the end, does he hear Buffy when he's in that helicopter?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so, but I still don't think that makes any difference.
Because I was going to say, then, does that allow her to move on quicker? The fact that what I'm saying is if she knew that Riley heard her and he ignored her because he was like, it's too late, Buffy, we can't. I think that would help her move on.
You know what? She needs to move on anyway, Mitch, because it doesn't matter if she showed up there or not. If he wanted to stay, he would have stayed. But no, his ego was so fragile that he could not handle, like, being not the most important thing in Buffy's entire world, like she was to him. So,
or not as strong.
I mean, he left because he wanted to. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, that's a hard point to contend. What do you think about that, eh?
What, that he's mad that she is stronger than him? He's mad about everything. Like I said, he has a really fragile ego, and it's really frustrating to me. It's like everything that I can't stand about 90s men, or all men, I guess, in general. I can't stand that.
Yeah, it's just, I love having Buffy be the strongest character on the show, and it's always frustrating when people... don't appreciate her strength or find her to be threatening in a way to their ego, like you're saying, that she's too strong for them and that doesn't make them feel good anymore. It's so archaic.
Mai, how do you feel about Riley as he leaves?
Oh, I don't like him. I can't remember how I felt about him the first time I watched the episode, like you did. That probably was a little bit sad because I was a young girl and didn't know much of war. Like, I don't know. Maybe I thought that he was a good guy. A nice guy, as they like to call themselves. But he has such a fragile ego. He has the worst need to be in charge and be the superior, if I'm explaining myself properly.
He needs to be kind of an alpha dog.
Yeah, the boss.
Yeah.
Needed. And he wants a housewife.
But he is the housewife with Buffy.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any friends. Like, when Buffy was talking to her mom, like, I gave Riley the night off to go hang with his buddies, and he doesn't have any. He doesn't have a hobby. So when Spike says Buffy needs a man with a little monster in him, I don't think that's what she needs. She needs someone with a life of his own.
Yes. I mean, isn't that what everyone needs?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're a secure person, like Buffy is a secure person, It's really uncomfortable.
He's so
mean. Yes, it's exactly. And it, like, the word needy kind of makes me feel uncomfortable because it makes you sound like, oh, Buffy's just being petty. Why can't she just, like, give him, if he needs something, give him what he needs?
But it's so much more than needy.
Yeah, it is so much more. It's like he's not comfortable with himself, so he needs Buffy to make him feel comfortable. But she's like, she shouldn't have to do that.
It's like he has trouble being on his own. Like he's always needs to be part of a unit.
Because he's a soldier.
And Buffy doesn't.
And it's sick too
she can
that
be on her own.
It's sick that the moment that he is alone, he decides to go with a vampire whore, I guess is what the show is dubbing them, right? And it's
yeah, it is cheating.
It is cheating no matter which way they look at it. And I'm proud of Buffy for sticking to her guns. I don't like that. If you want to transition into kind of like what Xander does here, what Xander says to Buffy, she's like convinced by Xander that she's in the wrong, that she hasn't been giving Riley all that she needs to.
Oh, I was so angry.
Oh my God. I haven't been this angry at Xander since his magical roofie episode. I was so furious. It was almost dehumanizing to Buffy.
But of course Xander would like Riley. They're the same in a lot of ways.
They can be.
I feel weird saying this, but I don't 100% disagree with him. Like,
no, I agree also.
Like, think about how Riley kept finding out, like, that Buffy's mom was in the hospital, like, from other people. You would expect that in moments of, like, really horrible things. Like, she doesn't need to call him as soon as they've taken her to the hospital, but when they have a little downtime because she's in for testing or something, like, you'd think the first person you would call for some emotional support would be your partner.
Okay, so, but I have a rebuttal to that, because you would think if he was the kind of person who could give her that kind of emotional support, in that case, I think if she is not confiding in him these terrible things that are happening to her, then that's his fault. He's obviously not providing her with something she needs. I think she can sense that he's so like insecure and like needy and stuff like that. And that's not a good energy to have when you are just trying to hold yourself together. Because this reminded me of something, because when he brought that up, it reminded me of this one time last year. Our grandma got her house broken into, and she was held up at gunpoint. It's this whole story. But anyway, so I was with my cousin as we were, like, getting her into the paramedics, and her boyfriend called at just that time, and she was like, "Ugh, I cannot talk to you right now to the phone." And she, like, hung up. But she was, like, talking to her sister and talking to her mom. But that was just, like, really shocking to me at the time. But also, like, it suddenly made sense. Like, no, you're not the person right now who's going to help me get through this. Because with Riley, it's always like, I want something from you, Buffy. I need something from you. But when you're in that kind of position, like, you need someone who's going to just be there without needing something. And Riley can't do that. He's so freaking needy. He always needs something.
I don't disagree with that. I guess, like, to continue what I think you're right in that she, like, maybe subconsciously senses that he's not the right person for what she needs. But that says, you know, that their relationship was not meant to be. But, like, if he was a good partner for her, he would be the one that she would reach out to. But since he is not the one that she's reaching out to. I can see where Riley would feel kind of frustrated that everybody else in their friend circle knows what's going on except him, when he is kind of supposed to be like there for her all the time. So I can see where that frustration is, but I agree that he is not emotionally capable where he is right now of giving her what she needs. And that's probably why she's kind of I don't think purposely, but kind of subconsciously icing him out of that situation.
Well,
but also the way he goes about taking revenge on her for being that way. He should talk to her about it instead of going to get bit by some...
Exactly. Yeah, it's vampires. Amazing how just a little conversation would make things, would fix things.
And he's yet another clearly not... trope in TV, when you don't talk to someone and there's misinformation or just lack of communication in general, and then there's a big drama. We do that a lot in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer universe.
Yeah, I don't think he's emotionally mature enough to realize, gee, I should just talk to her.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't, well, she doesn't tell him, but he lies.
Yeah, he does.
You know, how didn't she notice that he had these bites all over his arms and neck and stuff when they're getting honky-tonky in bed? Like, how do you explain that away?
Because she's...
preoccupied?
I don't think she's preoccupied. I feel... Well, okay. I just mentioned this because this sex scene made me so uncomfortable, and I realized that, like, all Buffy sex scenes make me very uncomfortable. I don't know why they're so not sexy. Like, even the one...
because Joss Whedon is doing the sex sounds, honestly.
Like, the one with Angel and Buffy, I was like, what is this terrible music and lighting, and oh, I feel so icky right now. And, like, this one made me feel so icky. I just wanted it to stop. So...
Because they try go on to make it all romantic.
Long. Yes, they try to make it romantic, and it goes on way too long, and it's not romantic.
And, yeah.
And then the faces that the people make are just like, oh.
So, we get Spike inserting himself into this whole drama, because he is watching from the outside as Buffy and Riley are having sex, because he is so creepy.
Yes.
Like, seriously, so creepy. But then he sees Riley leave and follows him to the den where people are getting bit. And so he then goes into Buffy's bedroom where she's naked.
I'm sorry, but... how neither of them know that he's there, considering how much he smokes, is improbable.
He's such a creeper. The most icky...
It's making it really hard to ship Buffy, I'll give you that much. I want to see why people are so passionate. Really, after this, it kind of feels Edward Cullen-y. Like, I feel like so much of Twilight in the romance comes from directly these relationships that Buffy has with Angel and Spike. It's so disturbing, like the stalking part.
Didn't say it was healthy, Mitch. It's a terrible real-life situation. I like to watch it on TV.
Well, he is actually a demon.
Yes, so he's a terrible... He literally has no soul, Mitch, of course.
I just don't see where the ship can go. That's where I get stuck. I'm like,
it doesn't need to go anywhere.
So you think we don't really have to get romantic? Like, maybe... Do you think they can get sexy without being I love you romantic?
Oh, yeah.
Awful people can still be hot. Yes.
Buffy can't, at least at this moment, Buffy can't love him. He has no soul. Yeah. And he's killed a bunch of people. I mean, if he could, like, work himself up to it, that'd be pretty impressive if he could be a soulless demon.
I know. And you know, I'm actually starting to wonder, too.
Also a good person.
With vampires, if there's, like, a transfer of souls that they can do on their own. Because, when we get into Angel, we'll talk more about that, but it starts to feel like Spike is becoming more soulful as he's becoming more human or less violent because he's not able to punch humans or hurt them. It's feeling like to me, like he's like, you know, like the Grinch grows his heart. I feel like that's what Spike's doing right now.
As he is stalking Buffy while she's having
so pleasant?
Sex with her boyfriend. Oh
yeah.
So how do we feel about him? Like, and insert is such a bad word here, but like, but putting himself in the middle of this whole drama, so he's the one who makes sure Buffy finds out what Riley is up to.
I mean, he's a manipulative genius.
Yeah,
he's
good about
his face, though. When Buffy puts her shirt on,
oh, that was
he's
cute.
Such a teenager. I can't believe I'm in a room with a girl.
It kind of reminded me of when Buffy first had Angel shirtless in her bedroom, and then she was also changing too. It was the same kind of, like, homage, if you asked me.
Just kind of common with people who like each other.
Honky tonky.
He likes her, he's pretending he doesn't. And he's creepy.
He's probably thinking of his shirtless dream with her, and he's like, now it's her turn.
Yeah. So we also have this scene where Riley goes to, like, pretend to stake Spike. So what were some of our thoughts on this scene where they're basically both being like, neither of us have it good with Buffy. Doesn't that suck?
What was with the plastic stake? Why bother? What's the threat you're trying to send? Like, to the audience and to Spike. I don't get it. I feel like Riley was in the moment that he would have staked Spike. He's been staking his vampire horrors, like, left and right, so it doesn't really make sense to me that he stopped there with the plastic stake and then he had, like, a heart-to-heart with him.
Because James Marsters is popular.
Well, I know they can't kill him off. I'll give you that much.
People tend to like Spike despite themselves?
Well, it felt like, to me, like another death fake-out. And this one was a lot quicker and lamer, I suppose, than Joyce's whole, like, five-episode tirade of looking like she was going to die. But I don't like it when they do this to our vampire characters, especially. It's pretty exhausting. They do this pretty often where they fake-stake someone or something, and it's just like, all right, I don't need you to stake a vampire unless you're really going to do it, so make up your mind.
I don't think there's a good in-story reason for him not to do it. It's just because they're keeping the character on the show.
Yeah, it's just for, like, added drama and tension and for...
Do you think the Scoobies would be mad at him if he did it?
I think, if anything, Buffy would be, like, conflicted. I don't know, A, what do you think about the rest of the group?
I mean, I think that they like Spike despite themselves, but, I mean, I don't think they could really... I think they would be irritated with him. I think mad is too strong of a word. I don't think they would allow themselves to be mad. Maybe they would be pouty that day and probably, like, throwing fits about other things, not Xander quite realizing. Happy. No, I think Xander kind of likes him.
I think they bonded over the Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, I think that they all kind of like him, that they're all a little bit fond of him, even if they don't want to admit it.
Like Anya's scene with him in the bar, for instance, or then we have, like, Willow saying, like, you could still, like, I'm biteable, right? Like, all that. You're still threatening? Oh. Like, they've all had those moments with him.
Good point.
And even Giles was, like, a little bit domesticated with Spike, like, oh, here's...
They watched Passions together.
Yeah. It was cute.
Everyone likes Passions.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only person Didn't we don't you? Have that's, like, related or in touch with Spike is the newest Scooby of Tara, and she's once again not in this episode. I don't think she was in last week's. No, she was. That was the alien. But it's always funny to me when they just straight up don't have her in an episode when, like, an important event's happening. Like, Joyce is in the hospital and Willow's just there alone. It felt like she should have been there. I don't know.
Well, Spike proved that she wasn't a demon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are there. And I'm like, slowly backing off of Tara's evil boat. She's becoming less and less evil in my mind.
It's a miracle.
I don't know. She's still... Well, guys, we have to remember that overarching plot here, we don't see too much of Dawn, but we still haven't seen anything, you know, unveiled about what's going on with Tara and Dawn, their relationship, and why they seem to be kind of mother-daughter, maybe, or whatever may be going on with that. Was Dawn even in this episode much? Was she just in the hospital part? I don't remember much.
She was in this episode mostly to be like, I have to stay here because Buffy needs to have sex.
Oh, yeah, so they did the scene of, like, life again. Basically, yeah, that was kind of cute, actually. I liked the way that scene was written.
I thought that was funny, where she was like, I know what this means, I know they're going to boink.
Boink.
Yeah, it's the way the actress says boink, too.
Riley is rejoining the military, he's out of here, Buffy's sad, Spike is sad because he loves Buffy, and he's creepy, and Joyce is apparently out of the woods. How are we feeling, guys?
Like we don't even know the evil to come.
That's probably true.
Oh, well, also with Riley gone, like, I feel like there's definitely some chance of revenge sex with Spike, so that's exciting for me.
Where does that come from?
Because she's like, Riley left me. And okay, just don't dash my dreams, Caitlin.
I don't think Buffy's super thrilled with Spike for like putting himself in there because she was not happy with him when they walked out.
He did her a favor, okay? Regardless of his motives for it.
Yes, it was probably good that she found out what he was doing.
How did you feel about the Scoobies not taking her seriously when she wanted to take out the nest?
I think they thought she was probably still like feeling a lot of feelings from her mom, and also she was being kind of weird about it. Like she got the crazy eyes going on, so.
Burning things down. I mean, that's not going to just affect that one house. That could like burn down the neighborhood,
Yeah,
start a
but before that,
wildfire. We're in SoCal after all.
making
Come on.
jokes.
It's a bad idea. Don't burn something down, Buffy. There's a better way to like rid the place. I don't know, maybe. I feel like that was stupid. And they were very nonchalant about it too. They're like, burn a house down. Oh well. Like they didn't show the consequences of that. I almost expected it to be like an ongoing theme for the rest of the episode. Buffy burns down Sunnydale.
Well, it's a brick house, so it's probably fairly contained.
Yeah, but it's pretty dry. Once again, California. Any grass or anything else can catch fire, and there you go. But you know, Giles did bring up a good point when he's like, there are people who want to be saved by vampires and people who are giving themselves. We don't need to, we don't really have the time or the resource to go out and help people that are like basically stupid enough to hand themselves over to the wrongdoers. We need to help people that are innocent first.
Though
How do
they've
you
helped
think
plenty of.
Ripper knew about him?
Ha
Oh my God. So that means that Giles was probably involved in this business back in the day, his Ripper days.
I mean, or he could have just known about it. We know about drugs, doesn't mean we're on drugs.
Yeah. I think it was just the way he said it too. Like he kind of had like a moment where he like looked away after he said it. And I was just like, oh, it's kind of strange, but like there are certain lines that Giles says, I think usually when he's referring to his Ripper past, that he just comes off as being like super like dorky hot, and I can't get over it. He has this certain charisma that I love so much. I do.
Like he's done things, seen things.
Yes, and I'm so sad that this pilot for Ripper never took off because every time we get a little taste of it, it sounds so interesting.
Maybe he and Ethan were involved in some of that back in
Stop
the
there. Maybe they were involved.
with each other. Geethan. That's a weird ship name.
Don't. Don't.
I gotta. I'm the shipmaster.
All
Oh,
right,
I
let's
know.
move on. Let's move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene was when all the vamps from the den surround Buffy and it looks really scary, and then she like pretty effortlessly kills them. And it's super brutal when she lets the one who was actually drinking from Riley go, but then kills her while she's running away. That was kind of, I thought that was a little dark, which
Yeah.
fits well with how Dark
Revenge
Angel
hits.
goes.
They
I
did
thought
a
this
good
was
job
a
of showing that. I think it was meant to be like an allegory for this being like a drug den because that girl looked like really tweaked out.
Yeah,
And
she did.
yeah, so I think that was a good casting and or makeup job there.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty sweet how she just effortlessly kills a whole bunch of the vampires.
That was really fun. And why does Xander just, he's like, oh, I'm here because I thought you'd want some help with some horrible
Grew
advice.
an extra pair of arms.
So you grew a couple. You're an octopus now, I guess.
Oh, you guys are brutal.
Don't like him anymore.
Go back and forth on Xander all the time.
Yeah,
He
me
was
too.
so sweet with Anya, though.
He was. I had lots of conflicting feelings with Xander in this episode because, on one hand, I was really frustrated that he was like making her feel guilty for not like it's almost like not being like womanly enough for to make what's his face feel better.
White bread.
And it's like, yes. And I was like, shut up, Xander. But then he was nice to Anya, so.
It's like even when he has some good points, he's a douchebag about it.
I know.
Anya is the only reason that I like him.
I'm happy.
So, she makes him a better
sometimes
person.
Willow.
Yeah, she does.
I was kind of scared.
He has to, like, test his patience. I don't know.
From the way
I feel like him and Willow kind of enable each other sometimes.
From the way that Xander was reacting to Anya in the magic shop, when he's like, I've got to do some things. And then he shows up in that final scene with her. It felt like he was going to break up with her. I'm happy they didn't, because him confessing his love for her again made me happy. And like we're saying, once again, conflicted my feelings about him, because he's just coming off of this low of, in my mind, of saying, Buffy, why aren't you existing to fulfill Riley's need? How horrible that you have your own thoughts and feelings. And then he's like, but I love you, Anya. And it's like, how can you be horrible and great at the same time? I don't get it.
That was so well put.
Oh, thanks.
Maya, what was your favorite scene?
Favorite scene? Well, most important scene was Riley telling Buffy to hit him and Buffy walking around him. Because I, between that and all the arm grabbing and the lying and the cheating and Riley being awful in general, it just, it points out all the white ready bad things in such a specific way that not even Xander's little speech can cover up.
Very true.
You know, he would feel better if she hit him, because it would be like her responding to the way she he made her angry. And so him, her not doing it is just like, I'm not even gonna give you what you're, what you feel like you need.
Does he think that she fought a lot with Angel or something? That they got physical in that way?
Okay, so she, I mean, she felt more things with Angel, but also she was younger. She was in high school. It was like her first love. Mm-hmm. Everything feels heightened. Now I think she's more mature. I think that this is what she wanted. I don't think that she was being bad, like a bad girlfriend. I think this is what she wanted, a nice, healthy relationship. But then he stopped providing that because he became needy and stuff. And so I think she started pulling away because she had a lot of shit going on, like her mom dying.
And he didn't have a fucking hobby. Sorry.
Yes. And I mean, I really feel like she's probably feeling relieved right now that he kind of made the decision for her.
I would be. Oh, yeah, definitely.
The arm grabbing, though, that's just, oh.
He grips, you could tell, like, the actor was gripping, you know, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar's arm pretty hard, because you could see, I guess, like, the tension in that grip, and that was pretty intense.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable in that, too, because I was like...
And several times.
Yeah, like, it happened there, and it happened...
He kept doing it.
It happened again in, like, the bedroom or something
like, hit
else.
Me. Hit me. Oh.
What else? Are we done with this episode yet? I'm so tired of Riley. Let's move on.
Well, good.
Ariana, your favorite scene.
Yes, my favorite scene is when Riley couldn't hear Buffy and left for good.
The end. It's all over.
Goodbye.
If she really wanted to stay, she would have thrown something.
I was thinking about that. I was like, why isn't she going to throw a rock at him or something?
Yeah.
See, I just think, why didn't she get in a car and drive? Like,
it's almost like, I think in her mind, like, she runs around Sunnydale quicker than she would if she was.
Because Xander told her to run. Okay,
oh,
she told her to run, and you know what? She's going to be a good girl and listen.
It's more Casablanca if you run.
But I'm pretty sure a car goes faster than even the Slayer running.
And we needed that dramatic helicopter shot. Whenever we have helicopters in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we have to have it really, like, hair blowing and wistful, looking off in the distance. Arriving at the last minute as it dashes off into the sunset.
All right, let's wrap up with favorite lines. Mine was when Buffy and Joyce are in the hospital and talking about Buffy spending some time with Riley, and Buffy says, and I'm sure he'll come over later looking for a little Bible study. And Joyce says, well, good. I mean, just as long as the two of you are spending some quality time with the Lord.
I would never have this conversation with my mom. That is horrible.
I would.
I don't think I could be that direct about it all. I mean, I guess this is indirect still, but like that made me feel really uncomfortable.
I like that scene.
I thought it was all cute.
It's very mature of Joyce, because usually she's a lot more like, I guess, tight-lipped with Buffy. Like, we don't talk about things that are unpleasant, but now she's like, you gotta go out and patrol, and you've gotta go out and use your human dildo, and it's all cool.
Oh boy. Maya, what was your favorite line?
Oh, excuse me. Human dildo. Mine was Spike during the confrontation with Riley. Look at you, all afraid I'm hot for your honey. Oh, love him so much.
Ariana?
I would try to do the accent, but I'm not gonna.
I thought that was pretty good.
I liked when Xander gave his little speech, and my favorite part was when he said, the things you do, the way you move, the way you think, I get excited every time I'm about to see you. I thought that was nice of him to say.
Yeah, he doesn't want Anya to feel taken for granted. I thought that was sweet. And Mitch.
Mine is when Giles is hanging up a bunch of holidays on a banner, and he says, no longer a victim of crass holiday commercialization. I'm a purveyor of it.
Love it. All right, let's move on from Riley.
Hopefully. Bye, Felicia.
And let's talk about a really awesome episode of Angel, episode 210 Reunion. So in this episode, everything is terrible and awesome at the same time, like how a volcano makes the sky turn into a beautiful rainbow prism of light right before lava flows over your face and you die. Now, Angel is mad, guys, and he is making some bad choices. He doesn't want to listen to reason. Even if Cordelia does have better hair now and a fistful of steaks, he will either stop the Double D Squad or follow them into that good night. Lawyers be literally damned, pancake trio left alone without breakfast.
Oh, it's so sad.
Okay, so we've got Darla is coming back as a vampire. Dun, dun, dun. This really awesome fight scene. So, did we enjoy this? Did we like how everything is moving so far with Drusilla back in town and Darla becoming a vampire? How are we going, newbies?
Yeah, I like it.
Me too. I was ready for it. I've been asking for Drusilla to come back for a while now.
This episode was awesome. I mean, I hate Drusilla, but she was good in this episode. I like her. I much prefer her with Darla than Spike.
I think maybe I've seen better episodes of Buffy and Angel now, or characters even, that when I see Drusilla, I actually get more annoyed than I used to. I used to love her droning, and she's like, the pulpit went over to the market and bought a muffin. Like, that stuff used to really amuse me. But now when I hear it, I'm just like, oh my god, shut up. We have, like, dialogue to get to. So, but it's, I'm with you, A. Like, this episode was great. I was so excited. I love when we can have, like, honestly, I love when we bring Buffy characters over to Angel, because it's so much more interesting, and it feels like the stakes are so much higher. And that's probably why I like the Pancake Trio so much, because they're all from Buffy.
Haha, the stakes are higher.
Oh.
One of my favorite things about this is that, in the flashback in a few episodes ago, there's the moment where Drusilla is like calling Darla grandmother, and then she's like, I could be your mummy. And now she is grandmother's mummy because she's kind of re-sired her.
Wasn't that great how we had, I'm forgetting his name, the new Pancake Man.
Gun.
Yes. We had him. I was thinking of the actor's name instead. It's great how we had Gun explain, like, the lineage, essentially, of everyone. He was just like, so what, you sired? Yeah. Da-da-da-da. He, like, laid it all out really nicely for us. It was a nice.
I was refresher. Like, what is this Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Yeah, so there's this interesting thing going on with Darla, because, like, She it takes her a little bit to decide to actually drink again. Like, she comes back and she runs away and she fights Drew, like saying, "Why would you do that?" basically, before she eventually drinks again. And it seems like it kind of comes from her acceptance in the last episode that, you know, her second chance was really to, like, die as she was supposed to the first time. So how do we feel about Darla as a character, especially with this kind of complex series of emotions she's dealing with before she just lets go and goes vampire again?
I thought it was interesting that she kind of resisted, that she, after so badly wanting to be a vampire for so long, she ended up resisting the transformation. I was kind of proud of her. It's
Me
like,
too.
Oh, some of her humanity is still in there.
It makes it easier to watch Darla as a vampire than it was in season one of Buffy, because there she was more of just like a caricature and it was exhausting whenever she was on screen. I used to hate Darla. She was a lot of the reason that when I first started watching Buffy on my own, I stopped, because I watched season one and it didn't get better in season two, because I was like, we have more Darla-like characters. This is horrible. I'm glad I stuck through, obviously. But Darla now is actually turning out to be really fun. And I think that her flashbacks are also doing her a lot of justice now, because we can see her struggle. And especially when I think back to, like, when she was turned by the Master, that especially rings true in my mind whenever I think of how she got to be the horrible, you know, grueling character that she is now. She wants to murder everyone because she's been through a lot of torment in her life.
So Mitch is liking her more. How about you, Ariana? Do you like Darla?
Oh, yeah. I think she's a great villain because she's so smart and calculating. And I like that she also is feeding into her emotions. Like, she is willing to go there, kind of like how Spike is willing to go there. Mm. I loved that she showed up at the lawyer's office and she, or the party, and she was just not having it. He was trying to manipulate her, and she was like, "I'm so done with you." Like, that was her first thought. She doesn't. I like that she doesn't cause so far really, like, chaos, like needless chaos, if that makes sense. I mean, she like kills people when she feels like it, but it's not like, "I'm gonna go on a massacre just to do that." She's like very calculated, like, "I'm gonna go kill you because you hurt me." So I think that's kind of scary-er. Kind of like Angelus. It's a very Angelus move. But I'm interested to see how Angel reacts to her, because since she is behaving so rationally, like not like a demon, but like Darla, angry and evil, I think it will be harder for him to make himself stop her.
Yeah, you're right, because she has moments too where, like you're saying, she was trying to resist the transformation. She didn't want to drink for the first time, and she's fighting Drew, and she's like, "Why did you do this?" And she's also fighting Angel, like, "Why did you let this happen?" And that was a great moment of conflict.
Is that part of her, like, that fought that gone now? Or are we going to see some conflict in her, do we think?
That's tough. I think we need to see a larger sample, because we saw both sides of her here. I just want to know, maybe if one more episode she doesn't show any humanity, then I think it's dead. But I'm not going to call it dead quite yet, because I feel like she makes a more interesting big bad, if that's what she's now meant to be, if she is to have that tinge of humanity, much like Spike was, I think, in like season two. Because he was kind of like big bad, but only ish. You know, Angelus was the real big bad of that season, and that was really fun too, because we kind of have Angel imbued within him. So that's almost, yeah, I like those dual characters where you can see them become good or bad depending on the situation or the people involved.
I think she's going to have flickers of humanity, like, because right now, right, like, she's still in there. It's just that the demon is overpowering her.
Mm-hmm.
But Darla seems pretty willful, like Spike does. So I think she'll be popping out every now and then.
That's a good point.
Mai, how do you feel about Darla?
Well, I like her. I think she's interesting, to say the least. No comment.
There you go.
Did you like her back in Buffy season one? I don't know if you can remember your first watch, but even like this watch, did you like find her to be compelling, or were you as annoyed as I was about her then?
I didn't take much notice of her the first time around, I think.
Yeah.
At least not on Buffy.
Once again, no comment, I guess.
Yeah. I do love the flashbacks, though.
Ariana, would you be okay with this if this was our big bad now? Like, what's going on? I don't know how to feel anymore. I'm so confused.
I'm not necessarily sure she's the big bad. I feel like, well, I don't know. Part of me is like, it's too soon for Angelus. But the other part of me is like, no, but it's season two, and he came out in Buffy in season two. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know if I don't think Darla is strong enough to be this season's big bad on her own.
Really?
But I feel like her influence will hopefully, like, will Angel be his own big bad?
Ooh, like. Okay. Right. I'm getting you now. That makes more sense. And this is where I wanted to talk in the last episode of Buffy that we were just covering, how I'm thinking that Spike can grow a soul like the Grinch. I feel like Angel can lose a soul like the anti-Grinch. Like, his heart is shrinking as he's becoming more evil.
He just has to have sex with her. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he doesn't seem very happy right now. I don't know if he could get the pure moment of happiness.
I don't think he even needs to. I feel like he can just become evil because he wants to. Maybe he can still do that as Angel with a soul, just be evil.
I don't know. He wanted so badly to be evil. Remember when they were, like, earlier in the century when Spike was, like, killing Slayers? And he wanted so badly to be evil, and he couldn't.
Darla's like, eat this baby. And he's like, I'm going to jump out of the window with it instead.
Yeah.
We both went to the baby.
Plot twist, he ate the baby outside.
So here's my question. Does Angel still love Darla?
Mm.
Or has he ever really loved her?
I still think he does. I mean, at first I was like, oh no, he never loved Darla. But after seeing everything he's gone through with her and how badly he wants to save her, I think he does, despite himself, love her. I even think he still loves her.
Same.
Yeah. I
think he's right to lie to himself.
Yeah.
I feel it's just an obsession. I feel like it's just it's tying into his blonde girl's obsession again.
I almost feel more like Buffy is an obsession. Like, in some ways, his love for her was more pure, but in other ways, she was kind of like the good Darla, like his replacement Darla.
Yeah.
She was pretty and cute and blonde and strong like Darla, but she was good.
Right.
So it's kind of creepy to me now.
And they're both extremes. Like, Darla's the one that created him, and Buffy's the one that can end him. Yeah. Angel is just so melodramatic with the woman he chooses. I mean, if he just got with Cordelia back in that dumpster, it would be all good.
Oh, I know. I love... Still, even in this episode, like, she's the only one who treats him. I feel like she's the only girl on this show who treats him like exactly how he needs to be treated. Like, you're being really dumb right now, Angel.
And she's looking great, you're right, with her hair. Evanescence phase, is that what you call it?
Yes. It's growing on me.
It took a while. Like, they styled it really, really, like...
You wish it would grow on her.
Oh.
They styled it... I like... The other hairstyle, she reminds me of, like, a cute... She's, like, a cute little teenage girl. This one, I feel like she's more, like, in her... Like,
half-seen kid.
Well, she's, like, in her early, like, freshman year college phase. Like, I just cut all my hair off and...
I wish it wasn't extensions, because, I mean, that hair was... It was a beautiful look on her, I thought. I thought it looked great. So it's, like, such a big adjustment to me, because when I think of Cordelia and Charisma Carpenter, I think of this long, flowing hair. Now that it's gone, it's, like, I have to readjust to, like... You know, it's kind of like in, like... Tangled spoilers, I guess. When she cuts off her hair, she looks like a different character. That's what I feel like with Cordelia.
But you know, I kind of like it. Like the long hair, I think I have long hair, so I'm not saying this in a bad way, but like it did, I feel like, make her feel a little bit ditzier, and the short, edgier hair makes her feel like sassier to me.
Like in terms of like TV character work, not like real life.
Yes.
Yeah. I see that. That does make some sense. You're right. And, you know, they're also making her, I think, I don't know if I'm seeing this differently, too, once again, on my bad quality of my TV, but I feel like she has, like, some kind of more, like, mature makeup going on, like, maybe, like, a darker eye or something. Overall, she looks more mature in, like, her costume choices that they're dressing her in. I think, overall, like, I'm taking Cordelia more seriously as I see her not only age in terms of, like, character, but in terms of looks as they try and make her look like maybe just even an appropriate age now.
I don't know. I keep getting 90s flashbacks to the fashion and makeup, so. I mean, I wore the blue eyeshadow.
As he tells Drew, what's the 21st century? When she's like, I decided I should get with the 20th century. He's like, it's the 21st. Okay, let's talk about the big thing that happens in this episode.
No, not yet. I want to ask Mitch a thing.
Okay, ask Mitch.
Mitch?
Yes?
Do you think that Darla has the same vampire demon in her?
Oh, we're talking like... Okay, I'm with you. So you're saying every time that a vampire is born...
Did you listen to last episode?
No, I didn't. No, that's the thing. I didn't have a chance to. So if
obviously not.
I'm so
You're
sad.
You're ruining the continuity.
Oh, that's so sad. I'll listen back.
Get back. Yeah, listen to it. Get back to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We can move on.
Okay. So let's talk about the big development where Holland is having a big party for all the Wolfram and Hart people and their significant others at his wine cellar, and Darla and Drew show up to have a massacre, and Angel shows up, and they're all begging Angel for help, and he locks them in,
yep.
Lets them have at it. So, newbies, were you shocked?
I think I was too happy to be shocked. I was just like, good.
It's when you say it like that, like as an individual, like Angel let them all die. Like that sounds shocking, but the way that this episode was going, it's not shocking because he's just like losing his brain. Like with Darla, first of all, he like just came back from like this hell test. right? Like that was that night when he took the test, right? And then after he beat it and he went through a roller coaster of emotions, accepting defeat, then Darla, the love of his eternity, got turned into a vampire by Drew, who he sired, who showed up again, and they're causing havoc. And so part of him feels like this is his fault, and part of him is like furious at the lawyers who are ruining everyone's lives and have ruined his lives and are trying to trap him. And then Cordelia and Wes keep nagging. And so, yeah, I think that he's just like losing it. So no.
I do love that we're keeping around. Is it called the Hurricane? I like Drew Spangler a lot better. I like that we're keeping around Drew Spangler a lot.
I like the double D's.
The double D? I'm confused.
That taken out of context, that sounds terrible.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, all right.
Is there Darlin Drusilla?
Yes,
that is true. I like double D's too.
Yes, anyways, I like that we're keeping around Drew Spangler for a lot of this drama too. It's fun that it feels like they have some sort of immunity. Because now it feels like to me that they were like, oh crap, we definitely killed Darla off way too soon. We got to bring her back. But we had to make that like really consequential, that it's a big deal that we had to resurrect her, you know? And I love how they're dealing with this whole hell test, and she comes back as a vampire so she can stick around in the show. And I like that Spike wasn't meant to stick around, but now he is for a long time, apparently, is my assumption. So I love that we're bringing all this drama in, and I love that when Angel's there, and even like the way that Drusilla is like, "Oh, we'll promise to be bad if you spank us." Rawr! I was like, ah, this is getting good again. This is starting to feel like some of the best parts of season two that I really got into. I don't know if anyone else really liked season two, but I really liked when we had Drew, Spike, and Angel just hanging out and just like having threesomes all day. I thought that was really fun.
I don't think Spike liked that.
The interesting is that, like, I really enjoy Spike on his own, but I feel like when he's with them, he just looks like such a loser to me.
Yeah. Like, well, he's in a wheelchair
He can't compare to Angelus.
He was in a wheelchair for all that bit, so it was kind of sad, too, because, like, everyone was treating
him like
dirt.
No, but even in the flashbacks, I'm always like, you're such a loser. Even when after he, like, kills the Slayer, I'm like, you're still a loser. Like,
yeah. And I'm not saying that because he was in a wheelchair, he was a loser. No. I mean, like, to the point, like, you're right, A, because they treat him poorly, that whole group. They just, they it's weird, because, like, he feels like such a badass outside of them, you're right. Like, when he's just, like, bringing that shotgun up to Buffy, like, that felt kind of badass-ish, and it felt even more badass that he put the shotgun down and consoled her as she cried. But it feels like he's not able to get to those deeper character moments when he's with his besties, his family, I guess. Feels like they just bring him down.
Poor Spike.
I mean, he was kind of a loser as a human, so.
Like, okay.
Yeah, but he isn't as a vampire.
Doesn't anyone in Sunnydale know what's going on here, and aren't they concerned at all? Like, at all? Isn't this a big deal?
I mean, they have their own issues right now. Buffy's mom is dying. Her sister is some kind of weird key.
Yeah.
I don't think they're pen pals.
Yeah, Angel didn't even know Faith was out of her coma.
I know.
When she showed up. So I don't think they're actually communicating.
But wouldn't Spike really care a lot that Darla is back, that she's a vampire, that Drew is back?
I think he would care more that Drew is back.
Yeah, all these things would really matter a lot to him, and I feel like it's only a matter of time.
I think we need to see him on Angel. I think he needs to make his way over. I said two-parter, then he's a two-parter.
Would it be fun if we saw... Okay, so I know we had, like, flashbacks with Drew Spangla on Buffy and then on Angel. Would it be fun to see everyone on present day, first part on Buffy, then second part on Angel? Would that is that the kind of thing you're talking about, eh?
Yes.
How would they even write that?
Well, I would say first part on Angel, second part on Buffy.
Switch it up.
Well, yes, because they're all on... Angel right now.
Because you had to get him over there first.
Yeah.
But then you couldn't do it. You would have to do it in subsequent weeks because Angel
anyway.
Was after Buffy.
Yeah.
Three-parter.
Oh.
Are we on to the... Wait. Oh, I have a question, though, before we end the discussions. What do the lawyers... I don't understand what the lawyers want with Angel. I mean, now they're dead. Yeah. But I don't understand. What they want with him in the first place. Because they don't want to kill him. But I don't know what they want. Do they want to turn him so they can use him? Why don't they just use a different vampire? But whatever.
And also, why... So, you know, you make a good point. Because then we also see the powers that be try and distract Angel by making him go to save this one man who wants to sacrifice himself. And... Then, you know, everyone's like, no, don't go anywhere else. We need to be here. The powers that be are telling you to stay here because you're not meant to go to, you know, this party with the lawyers and whatnot. So I wonder, A, if that messed up the lawyers' plan and that messed up time or the way things were meant to go in a way.
Well, I'm sure they didn't want him to go because when he went, he, like...
Killed them all, basically?
Yeah, he basically, by not saving them... He killed them.
So that's where I'm saying, I don't know if we're going to see that plot, which is weird. Maybe Lindsay will reveal it to us, because I don't think Lindsay's dead.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I think we're going to see what they wanted. Because so do you think Lindsay's dead is my first question.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But there's still, I mean, the office is huge. There's probably like 500 other lawyers that aren't dead. So even if he is...
I don't think he could be. I feel like that character, like, he had staying power and the way he was being really like, no, like, you can kill me, but I won't care. I think maybe he becomes a vampire. That'd be kind of different and interesting. Maybe Darla wants to do that. So that I think that what I'm saying is I don't think we're meant to know yet, A. And I think that maybe Lindsay will reveal this to us. Maybe in his vampire form. That's a stretch. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm with you. I don't get it. I don't know why they care to have Angel do anything that he does. Like, what is their puppet game here?
I had more I wanted to say about Angel and the lawyers. I think something interesting that the show is doing with him is kind of showing that Angel is, like, there's darkness in Angel that is not the demon, the vampire demon. Mm-hmm. In him, mm-hmm. Like, he himself has that darkness, because as we've been hinted at, like, the people, like, the personality of the vampire reflects a way of how they were as human beings. Mm-hmm. So Angel, I think, in letting the lawyers die, we're starting to see some of that actual darkness that he is capable of. And when he mm-hmm. fires the Cordelia Wesleyan gun, he's falling into that even more, and he still has his soul at this point. So I think that's very much an exploration of the darkness that he as a person on his own already had, and that's why he could become something as dark as Angelus, because he was already capable of something like that, which I find very interesting and kind of eerie.
That's fascinating, Caitlin. I totally Question. Agree.
What does that say about Xander?
I don't care about Xander right now.
No, but that's...
I'll answer your question.
Wishverse.
Oh, Xander.
He was a vampire. Right?
Yes.
So what kind of qualities does human Xander have that made him that kind of vampire?
Slime. Willow.
Well, I've always said Willow is a terrible person.
Willow is kind of gay, as she said, and that turned out to be kind of right.
But, like, going back to Angel, I think, like what you said, Caitlin, reminded me that, like, this was very much like in the 50s flashback, like when he let that demon take out all those people.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem like even Angel with the soul is always having to, like, fight and push himself to be a good person. Like, it's a conscious decision he makes to be good, which in some ways makes me like him more, because he has to be stronger.
We need, like, a name for him when he's middle ground. When he's not Angel, when he's not Angelus, but he's mid. Like, Angels.
Angelou.
Angelou.
Like, he's evolving into Angelus. So he's... Angel evolves into Angelou.
Angelou.
Like a Digimon. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Angelou.
I got that.
So, I'm curious about newbie predictions of... Angel has... He seems like he's started down a dark path at this point, and he's gotten rid of the only people who are kind of capable of pulling him out of it. So how far do you think he is going to go? Like, how dark do you think he might get?
I don't even know. Like, that, it was very shocking to me, and that's where I ended up putting that as my favorite line when we get to it, but I'm not afraid to explain it now. I guess it's all the same. I think it was a good shock value, because it's the last thing I expected out of that. I should have, because the way they were setting it all up was like, you know, everyone was like harping on him, like, this is going to turn you evil. And this is like, we've been hearing that stuff from the Pancake People, Nag and the Longer Trio, I guess, Pancake People, for a while toward Angel. And the fact that he's ignoring it should have been my tip off that he's going dark. He's on his own going dark. He doesn't need, he's Angelou, as we're saying. And it's going to be really interesting to see what Angelou does. I'm really happy we have a name for this, because I would have been confused if we just kept on calling him the same name.
I mean, he is Angel still.
But it's funny too, because some characters call him Angelus, and I'm like, no, you only call him that when he like doesn't have a soul. You can't do that to me. I'm getting confused.
I mean, none of those are his name. I forget what his real name is. Liam. So maybe this is Liam's side. This is like his bitchy, petty side coming out.
There we go. I like that. We should call him Liam.
Sleep with a milkmaid.
But what was I going to say? I mean, obviously, Angel has to be good again because there's 5 seasons of this show. And so, and I'm assuming he has to be the good guy for most of them.
Who's going to bring him back? Will be Cordelia.
I mean, I'm hoping we go pretty dark before he comes back.
And how do you come back from
like
that?
Yeah.
How do you run a business after you've been dark and you're like, no, I'm good again. Don't worry, guys.
Like, I know he's... I mean, he's still going to do his like job, right? He's just going to do it all by himself. He's going to find out that it's not as easy as it looks. He spends all that time sleeping, and Cordelia has to do all the paperwork. Wesley has to do all of like the studying. He's not going to like it.
Mm-hmm. Or does he care enough?
There are a bunch of minor characters surrounding this, too. Like,
does he care enough what, Caitlin?
To keep doing the job. I'm not sure he does.
Because that's for his soul. He wants to, like, regain his, I don't know, metaphorical soul there.
Right? Maybe like, he doesn't care anymore.
Atoning.
He's focused on Darla and Drusilla right now. Like we saw when Cordelia had her vision, like, he was as short and curt as he could be about fixing that. And he only did it because Cordelia threatened him with a stake. Like, he would have skipped, he would have not gone on that to fix that vision had the others not been with him, and now the others aren't with him.
That is true.
She should have done this before we left the hotel.
So...
How inconvenient. What did you guys think of Kate getting into this, too? Like, she's definitely on Angel's side, but I don't know. It's funny, because as soon as she starts to like Angel, he becomes Angelou, so it's like, how long can she really like him before she's angry at him again?
I forgot about her.
I mean, but she doesn't know that he's being mean.
Yeah.
Like, right now I'm mad at him because he's being mean to Cordy and Wes. But she doesn't know that.
I mean, she'll get wind. She's very snoopy. She'll use her magic floating eyeballs and she'll find out eventually.
What?
I'm referencing the episode of Angel where someone had randomly magic floating eyeballs
and
people's lives.
Well, I guess we will see where this goes, but... I don't actually remember very much of this season, so when that happened, I was like, oh my god, I forgot that was a thing. So, I'm super, super into this right now. I love it.
How close are we to where you quit? Well, you watched all the way through of Angel?
I have seen through about the beginning of season 4.
And there's 6 seasons?
5.
Okay. That's going to be interesting when some of the super fans haven't even seen what we're discussing.
They know. We'll fake it till we make it.
Okay. You guys pretend to be super fans for it all and just not theorize.
We can spoil ourselves. How about that?
Yeah, that probably makes it better.
All right, let's wrap up with favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene was when the whole fight as Darla rises as the vampire and Angel is fighting Drusilla and Darla and all that thing. I thought it was really awesome. And it was cool to see all 3 of them in the same place again. So I quite enjoyed that. Mai, your favorite scene?
Mine is when Angel closes the doors and Drew goes, Daddy.
Daddy's home. Ariana, did you have one?
I really enjoyed the whole episode, but I have a question, actually. So what if we think that, like, what are they supposed to do now that they don't work for Angel? Like, that's like their, I mean, Gunn, I think, has other things he can do. He has, like, his family and his friends, but, like, Cordelia and Wesley don't have any friends. And they don't do, I mean, that's their job. What are they going to do?
They can have some fancy dentist adventures. That'd be kind of fun.
No, but, like, how's she going to pay her rent?
Oh.
Immediate problems.
She's going to date the rich guy.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
I mean, is she going to stop having visions now that they've been fired?
I guess that's not true. And if she's having visions, she's not going to stop.
I mean, honestly, it's only a matter of time before
they'll get
hired back.
She'll probably drag Wesley around.
They'll be back on payroll quick enough. This won't last for more than the rest of the season. I know it'll end up... before the season ends, they'll be back full swing.
Do you think they're going to, like... Do you think they're going to try and convince Angel to let him back? Do you think they're mad at him?
I think it's going to be like a dire situation, you know? Like, he needed them and they came through and then he's just like not going to mention it, but they're just going to be there again.
Because like, if I was them, I would be really worried and I would be like, we have to see what's wrong with him. We have to fix him. We have to... I'd be really worried. But
like
I can also see...
Before Jealous comes out?
Yeah. So I can see them being really worried, but I can also see, like, especially Cordelia being really angry and being like, how could he do this to us?
Yeah, there's probably some of both. Like, I'm mad, but that doesn't stop me from being worried.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
Mine... favorite scene was when all the big bads were killed by a new set of big bads, and Angel was cool with all of this.
So we'll move to favorite lines. My favorite line moves perfectly out of that because it's the dialogue in that scene where Angel is standing at the doors and Lila says, "For God's sake, help us." And Holland goes, "Angel, please, people are going to die." And Angel echoes to what Holland told him earlier in the episode and says, "And yet, somehow, I just can't seem to care."
Mic drop.
So cool.
Threw his words right back in his face.
It was fabulous. So
it was harsh, but also badass.
I wish I was that good with comebacks. I'm never that witty.
Maya, what was your favorite line?
Mine is Drusilla. "It's not daddy. It's never daddy. It's the angel beast."
I think you'll really like it when they call Angel daddy.
I do too.
That's what I'm getting from this.
I'm into it. That's fun.
She just wants her family back.
Oh, you just made me feel bad for her for a second.
And then it went away.
I like the angel beast. Runner-up though is
you have really good skin. I moisturize.
That was very considerate of you.
Yeah.
I was like, I should moisturize more often.
Ariana?
Mine was the "she should have done this before she left the hotel" line. which made me a lol. But also, this reminded me that Angel was drinking blood, like, in front of all of them in this episode, which was like, yes, he truly no longer gives a shit anymore.
Was he where?
No, not
Wesley.
I was
waiting for Gunn to comment or make a face.
Not
or
Wesley,
something.
Was
he? No, Angel. Angel was drinking blood. He, like, got a big thing of blood, and he's, like, sitting there and drinking it in front of all of them.
I think he was so casual. They didn't
Zero play. Shame.
Yeah.
And Mitch.
Mine was the line that I talked about before. The final bit of the episode where Angel just goes, "You're all fired. You are the weakest link. Goodbye."
I wish that we could come back on that exact moment because I want to see their reactions.
Maybe we will. Buffy's done that before, hasn't it?
I don't know. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I love episodes that jump right in like that. It feels great. Cause it's like, so, like, I hate when they time jump after something dramatic and you're like, I need to see
it. I know. I'm like, no, I want to see.
Yeah, like when Quinn got into a car crash on Glee and then we skipped forward like 10 freaking months or something and I was like, oh,
don't
okay.
Start.
Let's wrap it up. So if you have comments on these episodes or anything we had to say about these episodes, just a reminder, you can send us an email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypable.com. You can hit us up on Tumblr @rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you enjoy the podcast, you can review us on iTunes and help other people find it. And we love 5-star reviews. And if you rate us 5 stars, then Mitch will caress your corpse inside a moonlit nursery.
That's right, puppet. It'll all be right. Mommy's right here.
All right, Daddy. I am.
If you didn't have enough nightmare fuel in your life yet, there, you have more.
And we have one piece of listener feedback from Sarah. Ariana, would you like to read it?
Sure. We had more, but this is the one I wanted to do. Sarah said, because I liked it. She was very thoughtful. Hey, y'all. Just catching up on rewatchable episodes. I'm a little behind on this, but I just finished episode 197. In that episode, some people were annoyed with Dawn's presence because it forced Buffy to take care of her instead of process her grief about her mother's brain tumor. I do totally understand where you're coming from, but I've always seen Dawn as more of a gift in this time rather than a burden. Even though Buffy logically knows Dawn is not her sister, she still feels like Dawn is her sister. I have a brother, so I always think of it as someone coming up to me tomorrow and telling me he's actually only been around for a week instead of most of my life. But if I'm able to process this, that still wouldn't stop me from loving him. And Buffy, as conflicted as she may be about Dawn's existence right now, still loves Dawn like a real sister. Sure, she has to pull herself together to care for Dawn while her mom is sick, but the alternative is that she'd be all alone. For my part, I'd much rather have a sibling around to keep me from falling apart than to be on my own in a situation like this. Not sure if you guys would feel differently, but I wanted to chime in as one of the very rare people who's pretty pro-Dawn in general. And when Sarah listens to 198, she will find out that I feel very much the same, and I actually do not mind Dawn anymore. She's been pretty okay the last few episodes. And I pretty much agree 100% with Sarah.
Which is funny, A, because I'm with you, and I didn't think that I would ever be able to love Trachtenberg in any role, ever. But I am, and I'm like, she's actually, like, decent. Like, her character isn't just there to make my life miserable and to manipulate everyone into doing horrible things. She's actually here for something kind of positive, and that's to give Buffy support during this traumatic time with Joyce. So I'm with you, listener and Ariana. I like what Dawn's doing now.
I love how maternal Buffy is.
Yes, I think having Dawn made her very maternal. I mean, I appreciate her personality this season compared to others. I said that last episode also. I think it's made her warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's made her more likable too, because it gives her even a little bit more of a purpose and a reason to continue on. I find it difficult sometimes to understand Buffy's struggle because everything's so heightened, but when we get down to a very base level of she's here to take care of her sister and her mom, I guess, that feels really relatable to me.
All right, so we are going to wrap up with Mitch's musings. And do we have one for Ariana's?
Ariana's answers.
Perfect. For Buffy 5'11 triangle and Angel 2'11 redefinition. Take it away, guys. Mm.
Well, triangle always makes me think of love triangles.
Yes.
I don't know who it's between now, though, since Riley is gone.
Does Angel come back?
I mean, I guess it would be... No, Angel can't come back because he's too busy dealing with Darla and Drew. And I don't think he'd want to come back in case Spike was there to be like, hey...
Does Oz come
Darla
back?
Darla and Drew are back.
Are we done with
the love? We already did that love triangle. I don't want to rehash it. Oz can come back because I love Oz.
Oh my god. I have a really good one. What if Cordelia comes over and then she's like, Xander, I want you back. You're hot now. And
no. Gross. Gross. No. I know, I mean, my love for Cordelia and Angel burns eternal, but we definitely have not seen that this season. I felt it much stronger in season one. Yeah. This season, it's been much more like a little sister vibe, because he's so obsessed with Darla.
Well, my love triangle in my mind, do you see it? It's Anya, Xander, Cordelia.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. No.
I'm
saying
more
that
epic.
Cordelia deserves better. Even though Angel is being terrible right now.
I think if we're calling it an episode triangle, it has to be more epic. I think it has to involve Buffy, and that means to me that it's going to be Buffy, Spike, insert third party member here. I don't know who that's going to be. You're saying it's not Angel. I don't know who else.
I think if we're calling it Triangle, it has to involve Buffy. But also, I don't think there can be a love triangle now, so I don't know what it is. It must not be a love triangle. Maybe it's a literal triangle. Like, maybe there's an artifact that's a triangle.
Don't triangles make up a Pentecost? Is that the special star that's used in Wicca, as far as I remember? It could be something to do with, I don't know, maybe that's a stretch too. But I'm thinking if we're basing it off a shape, it could do something with, like, the triangle of people using the spell or something. I don't know. But Angel redefinition, is this Angel redefining himself as Angelou?
I mean, he has to find a new purpose now, even if his purpose is stopping Darla.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I guess the other people probably have to redefine their lives too. Everyone probably does.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have to see, like, how everyone gets along in life.
And I'm so mad at him.
Do you think this could be, like, ABCD plot with all four characters? Angel, Gunn, Cordelia, and Wesley?
You mean they're all separated? No, that would make me feel so bad.
Like
the Although, I guess then at the end of the episode, they can all come together again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, it's
like, no, my heart ached without you. How else do I eat breakfast?
All right, well, we will see where it's going next week. So thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, my name is Caitlin.
I'm Mai.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Mitch.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.